Hey, what's up? This is Chris Ryan. On Mondays and Thursdays, you can find me co-hosting The Watch with Andy Greenwald. We are still cranking it out. We talk about a lot of things in pop culture, music, movies, but most of all, our ever-changing TV landscape. So check out The Watch for recaps of your favorite TV shows, updates on the streaming wars, and recommendations on what to watch, because there's a lot to watch on Mondays and Thursdays on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
WWE World, please join in welcoming the Masked Man Show, hosted by David Shoemaker, Kaz, and your favorite stat guy, Greg.
Yeah. What's up, WWE World? Welcome back. I know a lot of y'all got places to be, places to go. So we are here.
Something happening tonight?
I don't know. Y'all busy? Y'all got plans later tonight?
I heard there's supposed to be a night of great wrestling tonight.
You heard that? I think so. I think that sounds like something that'll be happening tonight.
Sounds fun.
But welcome back once again. Main stage, WWE World, brought to you by Fanatics. My name is Kaz. This is Dave. This is Greg. And one more time, we've had some great, great guests on this stage so far. Yeah. We've had AJ Styles come by. We had Naomi. I mean, we had Zoe Stark earlier before. It was really fun. But I'm really excited about our next guest.
Oh, we're about to get crazy.
It's going to be really fun. Our next guest, our former NXT Tag Team Champions. You can catch them on Monday Night Raw every single week. They are Duke University All-Americans. And we talk about a lot of the rising stars in WWE, people that we got our eyes on, folks that I believe is going to be running this thing before we know it. I think of these two individuals. So please, ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Julius and Brutus Creed, the Creed Brothers. Yes, sir. Man, that's the energy I like, man. Make some noise for the Creed Brothers, y'all. Yeah. Woo! Listen, my favorite part of WrestleMania week, my favorite part of talking with everybody and doing these interviews is talking to guys like you when it's your first time really getting the entire, I don't know, experience of all of this, right? So the first question I want to ask, I know we're about to head to the stadium in a little bit, but how has your first WrestleMania week felt like so far?
Man, you want to answer it or me? I don't know. It feels great, man. I mean, WrestleMania is the best part of the year, honestly. It feels like Christmas as a kid, you know? Now we're experiencing Christmas. To be honest with you, though, I want to be performing in it. You know, next year, I hope me and my brother are going for those tag titles, or we're already holding those tag titles come this time next year.
Yeah, you're going to start to see the dynamic of us pretty quickly. He threw that last little bit in because he knows that's what Big Brother wanted him to say. But the first part was him. When we started this career, you know, he said, man, this is unreal. We're doing WWE like we always dreamed of as kids. If I get to be in a video game and I get to have a title I get to have an action figure, I'll be able to retire happy. I said, dude, we're going to do so many more big things than just those three things. So that back part's definitely how I feel. You know, I like to look at myself as happy but not content. And we're living some of the prayers that we had a couple years ago or even prayers that we had as children. We are on the Monday Night Raw roster. We performed on SmackDown last night. But we got such a long ways to go, and we're willing to do the work. And I know we're talented and we're going to be able to do it. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm happy but not content. You know, I watch Cody, I watch Rock, I watch Roman, I watch Seth, and I think they are amazing. I think they're terrific, but I know that I got the exact same thing, if not a little bit more than what they got, and that's the position that I want to be in. That's the position that I want him in, and whether he wants it or not, I'm going to push him there. So
I'm gassed up right now, yeah, man. Let's go.
So you signed first with WWE, right? And then did you have to convince him to try out? Or tell us the story.
He's going to spin the narrative here. Get ready for this.
Don't spin it. We want the real type of podcast.
It was convincing to move down to Florida. I was like, okay. I love Ohio, right? That's where I'm from. And so I was like hesitant to move down. But in terms of like wanting to, I know that when he tried out, I remember him calling me or whatever to talk. He'd be like, man, I haven't even All-American yet. You got All-American. You got to do all this. So I'm like, all right. I bulked up. I went to heavyweight. You know, I'm undefeated now going into nationals, you know.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was a tragedy when COVID hit, right? But I was undefeated, ranked number one, and COVID ruined that. But I was a two-time All-American at my time being. And I remember after I All-Americaned, I felt a sign of relief, like, hey, I'm going to get a WWE tryout. And I know I felt that relief because I know that we never fail at things we try, right? So when I got that and I was like, all right, I'm on All-American. I'm going to get a tryout now. I know I'm not squashing this. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to make the most of it. He prepared me the best way he could. And we went out there and I killed it, you know. I had a great time, but I was also giving it my all. So I knew at the end of the day and the end of the tryout, I was like, listen, I know you're going to tell the story differently. Let me tell my side.
The dynamic is dynamicking right now.
Yeah. It was a great overall experience. I knew I could lay my head down at night thinking, okay, I gave everything I had at this tryout. If I don't get signed, I don't get signed, but I'm happy with what I did. Go ahead.
Now tell the truth, Julie.
Yeah, tell
us what really happened.
Tell us what really happened.
Well, in 1994, now I do got to give you some backstory, though. So my tryout actually came in 2018 after I finished my collegiate career. It was 2018. At the time, I was out living with Daniel Cormier, helping him get ready for the Stipe fight for the world heavyweight title. They flew me in. I did the tryout. I flew back out. I was fortunate enough to be offered the contract at that point. And I said, hey, you know, I already made obligations for this upcoming year. Can you give me another year? They gave me another year. And I said, hey, the Olympic cycle's right here. I was fifth at the trials in 16. Can I see it through the trials and through the Olympic Games? I can, you know, win the Olympics with a broken frickin' neck if you give me the shot.
Talk about it.
COVID threw a wrench in our plan. So I was getting ready for the Olympic trials. I was a couple weeks out. I was going to be one of the top seeds there. I get a call from him while I'm in actually NC State's wrestling room. And he says, man, he's sobbing, first off. He's crying like a baby.
Nah.
And he said, man, they just canceled the thing. I'm undefeated. I'm number one. This was supposed to be it. This was the bookmark. I said, dude, if the biggest thing you took from the sport of wrestling is something that you can put in a trophy case and get like let it collect dust, I said, you missed what we were doing this for all those years. I said, it gave you the resolve. It gave you the toughness, the perseverance. I said, it got you ready for whatever life's going to throw at you. That's the beauty of the sport. I said, now let me go win these Olympic trials and make the Olympics. A week or two later, they canceled the trials too. And I said, damn, I wanted something that I could have put in the trophy case to collect a little dust.
But I should have hit him back with the line.
He should have hit me right back with it.
He should have called me. I'd be like, listen.
But he didn't. So I called WWE. I said, hey, I want to act on this tryout now. I don't know when the trials are going to be. I don't know when the games are going to be. And this was a dream of mine. So I want to make it happen. They were gracious enough to give me that opportunity. I called him. I said, pack up. I said, I'm going to bring a U-Haul back to Ohio. I was in North Carolina at the time. We're going to pack you up. We're going to move you down to Florida. And I said, whenever the tryout comes, whether it's, you know, right when we get down there in July, whether it's December, whether it's July of next year, we're going to have you ready. We're going to have you ready to go. I will eat cost out of pocket until you get your tryout, and we're going to chase this dream together. And that was like 4 weeks out of packing up the U-Haul. 2 weeks out of packing up the U-Haul, my texts quit getting returned. A week out of packing up the U-Haul, my calls quit getting returned. I was like, Mom, I called Mom. I said, put Drew on the phone, or Brutus on the phone. She put him on the phone. I said, dude, I am coming up there. I am packing you, and I am moving you regardless, so get ready to go. And that was kind of how that whole thing
went. I cried when I left there. I cried when I left there. I said, oh, I'm getting out of the nest. I'm getting out of the nest.
I pushed him out of the nest. So, yeah, he had to fly.
I was about to say, are you glad he pushed you out the nest, though? Like, was it a loving push?
It was get your ass out of the nest.
I mean well, but sometimes I don't preface it or say it the best way. So
it's about results, not necessarily about the motives.
Preach,
that I do.
Preach.
There you go. Just get the results. That's all that matters.
Now, y'all been talking about the collegiate career. I want to take it back even further than that, because you said y'all are lifelong fans. I want to talk about when y'all were kids, like that sibling rivalry. Everybody with siblings knows what that's about. I have brothers. We used to wrestle and jump around the living room. The Usos about to do it tomorrow night, or tonight, I should say. What was that like for y'all growing up, just being wrestling fans and just getting rowdy? Because I know y'all were getting rowdy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we didn't know any other way, right? Like, before I have a memory or recollection, it was in my life. My dad, we had three boys in a short amount of time. My dad was a junior high wrestling coach. We were going to junior high wrestling practice at 6 weeks old, just sleeping on the mat so my mom could get a break from the screaming kids. Then it was monkey see, monkey do. We started doing the wrestling too. And then we were going home and watching it. You know, at the time it was Monday Night War era. We were watching that on TV, and it was just, okay, well, I'm going to wrestle in junior high like dad's got these kids doing. Then it'll be high school. Kurt Angle was on. We'll probably go win a couple Olympic medals. Then we're going to transition over to Monday Night Raw. And that was just what we always thought it was going to be. And then, you know, as you get older, you realize it's not that simple. But, you know, throwing bodies and moving people and wrestling around and being competitive with each other, there's nothing else that we know. That's all we've known our entire life.
A couple staples in the head, a couple stitches here and there. Oh, it was a lot growing up, you know, but it was fun, right? A lot of people think that's, like, bad, but, like, that to us, that was fun. We might be a little crazy in the heads, but that to us, that was awesome to do. It was awesome to compete with each other.
So what's your record against each other? Who's got one up right now?
Our oldest brother beat us up pretty good growing up. He might have the most. Our oldest brother. Yeah, he's right now he's Green Beret Special Forces. So he knows how to he knows what he's doing.
You just come a family of just badasses, right? Like, you got a Green Beret older brother. Like, as bad as you think these two are, there's some guy over, you know what I mean, doing real work. But one thing that I've always loved about you guys is on social media, you guys have these insane workouts, like where you use each other's body weight and just, you know, carrying each other. You got Ivy Nile on your shoulders and doing all types of squats and thrusts and all that type of stuff. How do you come up with that type of stuff? Do you actually, is that like the fun part, like after the workout, or is that stuff you usually really do to train? And if you do it, how does that benefit you when you're in the ring, when you're out there?
I'm going to hit both questions. I'm going to circle back to Greg's, and then I'm going to come back to yours too. So our older brother definitely got the wins early on, and I'm going to put little brother over right now because it is
That's right.
Truth. Like, growing up, he was probably the best athlete out of the three of us just naturally. Like, I was probably the worst athlete if we're just being honest with each other.
Yeah.
I was, you know, a little bit more intellectually gifted, I'd like to think. You know, I school came pretty easy to me, but athletics never did, and it never has, to be completely honest. He's kind of the exact opposite. Our older brother's the hybrid. He's good at both things. So it was kind of a cool thing, but like growing up, he was a stud, man. And because he was so good at whatever age group we were at, even though he was younger, he competed on my teams. They were like, you know, hey, it's a 14 and under team. He's 12 years old. He's playing with us, and he's one of the best on the field at whatever we're doing. And like, he was always able to do that. So, you know, I'm gonna give him his flowers there. It probably wasn't until my sophomore year of high school that I was consistently beating him at anything. And then it probably took until my senior year of high school to consistently beat my older brother at anything. So for me, I was a late bloomer for sure. And I want to give my older brother and my younger brother the respect on that, because nobody's touching me right now. So.
and in respect to him more, you know, he put in that work because he needed to, right? He would pack a lunch and he'd be gone. And you wouldn't see him because he'd be in the wrestling room. And
yeah,
he would always... He was pushing me. He was pushing everyone. So
speaking of being pushed, man, I know we were talking about the viral workouts and all that type of stuff. Just hearing y'all talk, I got my like competitive juices flowing. So I figured, me, my boy Dave, I want to challenge y'all to a push-up contest real quick.
Oh, no, right
this,
now?
I try to see if we can get this real quick. Greg, are you going to commentate and see what we can do?
I'm going to commentate. I'm going to count
up. I want to see the sibling rivalry right here, obviously. Right. It'll be every man for himself, but we want to see
get
who
gets your watch on.
Last one. Are we good? We good, Bob?
No excuses.
I'm dead ass.
Yeah. All right. All right. Oh, is everyone involved?
Yes. All of them.
Oh.
Hell no.
Oh, my goodness.
I refuse to pull any muscles before a night of great wrestling.
All right. Let's go. All right, ready? All three. Ready? One, two, three.
One, two, three,
four,
five, six.
Pull the muscle.
We got one man down. We got, but Kazeem Creed is just making his WrestleMania debut. Seven, eight, nine.
Y'all got it.
Y'all got it. Oh, gosh. Okay, that's what we're doing. Give it up for the Creeds, y'all.
That's the main event right there.
Woo. Yeah, I got a little pump. Oh, now. We good? All right, are we going shirtless? Oh, we've already gone crazy here, man. We've already gone off the rails. My goodness.
I did a marathon before this, otherwise I would have joined in.
Listen. Oh, all right, let me catch my breath.
That's kind of how it happened, though. See, yeah. I ain't even breathing hard. You see that? You notice that? You guys all taking notes of that? Ain't even breathing hard.
We're good.
That's how it happened, though. Like, seriously, we would get done with whatever wrestling practices, or we'd be playing a video game or with action figures. We go, man, wouldn't it be cool if you could do this? And those workouts were like, man, you think I can do this? The one time I was literally lifting, I said, Ivy, you think I could bench press you? She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, with one arm. I said, get over here, let me try. And that was it. Like, that's how those videos come to be. So now you get to see it real time.
Man, that was super impressive. You guys have been highly touted for a long time, right? As far as NXT, even before getting to NXT, you guys have been talked about as being the guys to watch out for the future, right? Both of you especially. But there's also been the incredible comparisons to, like, the great brothers of the industry, the Steiner brothers, the Usos, all that type of stuff. I know with WrestleMania week, you get to see a lot of people, a lot of legends. Have you talked to any of these people, any of the brothers, not just this week, but in the past, just about how to make it in this industry as siblings, as a duo, all that type of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hop on video games with Bron Breaker.
Nice, okay.
And so I'll pick his brain about his dad. And
first off, what do you guys play?
I'm going to be honest with you. We play Fortnite.
Oh, Fortnite? Fortnite?
I respect it.
I wasn't expecting the Fortnite guys.
I wasn't expecting it, but I do respect it.
Okay, all right.
It's free, right?
But I was about to say, you're killing Bron's gimmick right now, telling everybody he's a Fortnite guy, but all right. It's all good.
But, yeah, so I pick his brain about it, you know, about Rick and Scott and how they came to be and what they did and how successful they were. And then, of course, we're with Jay a lot in the locker room, so we like to talk to Jay Uso about, you know, even if we come back and we had a match, and, you know, he'll be like, hey, Uso, maybe you do this next time, maybe you do that, you know, and we're like, yes, sir, you know, we're going to take everything we need to take it back, think about it, and be like, all right, this is what they said, let's try to put that in the match.
Nice. Now, speaking of, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this, are there any tag moves that y'all been working on? Because you guys do have, like, not just innovations in the gym and in the weight room, but your offense is real innovative as well. So, like, is there something we should be looking out for, something we can expect? Is there a new finisher, a new move on the horizon coming from the Creed brothers?
We always are innovating and evolving and changing up. You know, there are some things that we've got in the can that I personally can say I have in the can, too, that not only have you not seen it yet out of us, you've never seen it from anybody. Oh. And I think extenuating circumstances and when the stakes are high is when you're willing to go high risk, high reward. And stay tuned in the near future, because I think we're going to get some of those high risk, high reward situations. And when we get those opportunities, we're going to break those things out and deliver.
I mean, speaking of this, you know, the innovative moveset, like, you know, the Brutus Ball, everybody's familiar with this. Do you ever...
We love the Brutus Ball.
Love the Brutus Ball.
When you do something, I mean, it's similar to things we've seen before, but when you see it, you're just like taken aback the first time.
I like cover my head every time I see it. I'm like, oh,
when you're getting ready to go in there with other wrestlers or whatever, do you ever show somebody the move and they're just like, no, or is it, I don't know.
I don't give them a choice, right? I show them and I'm like, this is what we're hitting you with. No, but yeah, that came about, you know, it's funny how this came about. I like to tell this story.
I'll tell the story.
Yeah, I was in the PC, right? We're training, we're getting better. We're trying to make it to main roster and so on and so forth. And people I see are practicing dives on people. And they have a soft mat, so they're not actually diving on people. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to try a dive.
It shows how he is once again and how I'm not once again. Yeah.
So my dive was just this cannonball laughing, right? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, wait a second, I am going to do this.
I got something here.
And then first opportunity that ever presented itself for him to jump off the top in a cannonball, he did it without fail.
I did it. I delivered. And so that's how it came about. And I'm like, wait, can we make this our finish?
Yeah.
And so we thought about it. And I'm like, wait a second. Maybe if he picks someone up, I hit him too. Boom, 1, 2, 3. And that's how it came about.
Fortunately for me, unfortunately for our opponents, 270 pounds of vanilla gorilla coming off the top rope isn't a fun thing to be getting hit with. So it works.
It doesn't seem like an easy thing to take night in and night out, but I guess you learn. That's how you break barriers, right?
Don't like it? Don't take the L.
Julius, I want to ask you a question specifically. I've talked to a lot of producers, OGs here in WWE, and they've compared you, like, even before you got to NXT, to, like, John Cena. Like, they compared you to some of the greatest that's ever done this, just as far as the talent, like, just seeing at the same time when he was the prototype and in OVW, and just sort of, like, the way that, even just talking to you now, you just seem very attentive and very always really willing to learn, and just hearing the story about how you pushed your brother. It's always that little extra thing, right? Like, everybody has something physical. Not everybody has, like, the combination of everything. When you hear the comparisons from some of the legends saying, like, yo, this guy might have a little John Cena in him, how does that make you feel when you hear those comparisons?
I mean, any human reaction right out of the gate when you're compared to one of those greats is going to be a little bit of pressure. And, you know, pressure is something that, fortunately for us, we've dealt with since we were 11 years old. There were dads on websites talking about, oh, your kid sucks, my kid's gonna beat him, and all that stuff. So we've been able to tune that out, and pressure's become a privilege. I single-handedly carried an entire Division I program on my back, wrestling at the NCAA tournament several times. I was the only one that was scoring points. I caught us into the top 25. You know, I like to think of myself as having helped carry him here. So, you know, carrying a lot of pressure is nothing new to me. It's something I've done my entire life. I think, you know, when that moment comes, turn the heat up, turn the pressure up. There's nobody better. I know I'm the best. They know I'm the best. And soon everybody's going to know I'm the best. But the only way I can get to that point is having people like him around me, having people like my brother, having people like my older brother, having people like Trick Williams, like Tony D'Angelo, some of the best guys that are up and coming, having the OGs like the Usos, having guys like John Cena coming back and giving feedback, Cody Rhodes. You know, those are the guys that I want to be able to stand on the shoulders of giants so that I can be successful. And that's what we're trying to get to. You know, I think the big knock right now is, oh, you know, what about the personality? What about the character? And the beautiful thing is we don't lack those things. We don't lack those things
at all.
People are starting to realize it now. Just the truth is we didn't need it before, because we could deliver an in-ring product that was going to connect with the audience without having to show character and personality. But guess what happens when you put a bunch of good ingredients in? Then you start to sprinkle a little bit of seasoning, a little bit of spice. That recipe gets real nice real quick. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're doing. We're cooking a winning recipe.
The right spice blend is undeniable. You know what I mean?
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Talking about your college careers, we know how, I think everybody knows how intense an environment that is for training nonstop. I mean, that's your entire life, right? I was down in the PC a year or so ago for just like 15 minutes. I got a quick tour through, but I saw you guys, and the thing that I saw everybody in there, and I was like, wow, they're way sweatier than I thought they were going to be. Like, you were in the weight room or coming out of the weight room. But, I mean, so we know the PC can be that kind of intense environment if you have your peers working just as hard as you. But how do you keep that going on the road in the main roster? You're in a hotel now for a week nonstop. How do you get that intensity and keep it going like that?
Yeah, I feel like it's already in our DNA to work hard. So if we did it in college, we're going to continue to do it. It's something that's not new to us, so we're just going to continue to do a habit that we've already formed, right? So in college, I would push myself. I'd say I'd probably puke at least once a week in practice. At least. I'm over there in the and then I'd have to go back.
It just means you work hard. That's all. It's just a little puke.
Yeah. All right, I'm back. And I'd wrestle live, right? And I'd puke after matches, too. I mean, I would just, my anxiety was so high. I was nervous, right? just because you're ranked number one doesn't mean you feel it in your mind, right? I'm like, at any moment, this guy could take my head and boom, I'm pinned. So I had a lot of anxiety about that. But to go back to working hard, yeah, I think we just developed a habit really early. We keep pushing ourselves, right? We keep telling, hey, you got to do this, and holding each other accountable to those things. So when we're on the road, it's like, wake up, hey, we might be able to eat. Let's go find a gym. Let's go do this, you know? So we keep a really good, hard training schedule for sure.
Yeah, I would say a little bit of it, sorry not to cut you off, is perspective too. And you got to keep things into perspective. And sometimes you will wake up and you'll feel bad for yourself. You'll feel sorry. You'll feel sore. You'll feel tired. But it's kind of reflect back. You know, we got an uncle that's getting up at 4 a.m. to go pipeline. We got, you know, our other uncle's a welder. We got electricians in the family. We come from a hardworking, you know, like he kind of said, it's in our blood. It's in our DNA. But at the same time, you got to figure out what your self-worth is. And that's hard, but it's back to what I was actually telling him when he told me that the NCAA tournament was canceled. And when all the accolades are gone, all the fame, all that, are you going to be able to look yourself in the mirror and be proud of who you are? Are you going to be secure in who you are as a person? And I believe that my calling in life is, you know, through action, through working hard, through confidence, being able to generate a better life for other people and a better experience for other people. So that's where I try to measure my self-worth, not out of accomplishments, not out of what I'm able to do. And in order to be that person that when I look in the mirror, I lay my head down on the pillow at the end of the night, I've got to be able to pay that price with sweat equity every single day so that I'm proud of who I am and I'm confident in who I am so that then the results will take care of themselves.
Man, I just get hyped up just listening to you talk, bro. I'm like hell yeah, let's put in the work.
Bad motivational.
Speaking of putting in the work, man, you talk about pressure being a privilege, and Duke Blue Devils, if I'm not correct. And all of my life, Duke's been a basketball school, right? Like, Duke has been all about just hoops, Coach K, Coach K Court, all that type of stuff. But in the recent years, you had the Daniel Joneses of the world. You have, like, other sports within the university start to have their sort of level of stars. And as far as wrestling is concerned, you guys are it, right? So as far as pressure and putting on for your university, I want to say, has there been any sort of opportunities to go back to Cameron, North Carolina, and you know, really embrace being the faces of Duke wrestling?
There's so many layers to that story because I had such a long time at Duke. And like anything else, you know, that ride was a roller coaster. And I didn't get the Olympic trials. I didn't get to the Olympic Games. So, you know, I left my coaching position, not under terms that I really wanted to be completely honest with you, to be quite frank. So things didn't necessarily end the way I wanted to. So I didn't have fond memories. So it took me a while to kind of circle back. And, you know, my loyalty lies with Glenn Lanham, the head coach there, a little bit more so than the university. He used to always tell me that, too. He said, man, I don't want you to wrestle for the name on the front of the singlet, I want you to wrestle for the name that's on the back. And that's something that always stuck with me. The guys like Glenn Lanham, Ben Whistle, the training partners like Dylan Ryan, you know, the roommates like Cole Baumgartner, those are the guys that we connected to. It wasn't necessarily the university. It's great that the university is getting the publicity and getting the notoriety and it gets the reputation and stuff because that was cool. But our loyalty lies on a more personal level, I think.
You mentioned you're working out with Daniel Cormier and getting him ready for stuff. Obviously, legend in the UFC, but also massive WWE fan. Once you started getting your career off the ground here in WWE, what was the stuff y'all talked about, right? Like, as far as, like, him being such a big fan. There's always been rumors of him possibly dipping his toe into the WWE. Now that you're fully immersed into the system, what are the conversations with you and DC now as far as the wrestling life?
DC's a character, man. He'll FaceTime and everything. And I just love hearing the stories about him. But every time we're in or around him, he's always talking WWE to us. So I know he's a big fan of it, but you can elaborate.
The way that I bust him up, being my younger brother, he busts me up like he's my older brother. So he's constantly calling. Last night I had a several-minute conversation with him after SmackDown, and he's always looking out for us and always trying to help us and always trying to give us the notoriety. I would love for him to come over and do something. I think we will get to see him come over and do something, maybe even in the near future, hopefully with us. But if you want to stand across from me, he can get it against us too. And then, you know, furthermore, I think you're going to see crossover the other way. You know, I'd like to formally announce that I would like to fight at some point in the near future.
Ooh,
we're under the same umbrella company now, and I would love to be the first to step into the octagon from the WWE side of things. And I think I can make headlines. I know I can get in that title picture, and I think we could do really, really big things for both the UFC and for the WWE at the same time.
Would you fight a light heavyweight?
I heard it here first.
Which, Which way is that? No, we can break it down here, man. I want to see that.
Don't cut the mics.
Keep the mics on for this one. Which weight class would you fight in? Like, where do you? What's it gonna look like?
Well, you know how we're talking about the competitive drive of brothers, and I likened him to my little brother. He was always trying to beat me at what I could do. Well, DC, like I said, is kind of like my older brother, and the fact that he had a title in each division seems like I kind of would want a title in each division. I could make the cut to 205, and I definitely would fight at heavyweight right now. So
we might be a little crazy, like I said earlier.
we could be the first brothers on a tag team card on the UFC too. He might not want to fight, but just like the U-Haul, he's getting packed up. And he's going anyway.
I'm going to fight.
We'll find out.
I might cry going to that octagon, but I'm fighting.
The decision's made for you. You heard it right here.
So you mentioned DC doing something a little in the near future. Is he going to be in your corner, maybe managing y'all, maybe, you know, picking up the Malcolm Bivens where he left, maybe like filling in where he was? He's got a hell of a personality. I think he would bring something out of you guys that I think folks that are here are starting to see a lot for the first time. But I think with his notoriety and his face, I think people could really see the type of characters and personality you are. And it's not just wrestle, right? So is that something we can expect soon?
Yeah, first out, shout out Malcolm Bivens, shout out Roddy, shout out all those guys that, you know, helped break us in and help us, you know, on those early first steps. We really appreciate that. And, you know, I think that's more up for D to decide. D does this thing where he constantly underplays himself. He's experienced it too, where like, you know, nah, man, I'm too old, I'm too slow, I'm too this. And then he can break out a standing backflip like it's no big deal. And that dude's like a literal Kung Fu Panda on some of that stuff. And like, I think it would be up to him what he would want to do in any capacity. But I think we'd be foolish not to accept any type of mentorship, any type of help that he'd be willing to give. So
now, you mentioned being somebody that's going to do like DC did and be a champion in two weight classes. Is it possible, though, that we see you actually be a champion in two companies, or I should say both companies, under the TKO umbrella and be WWE World Heavyweight Champion while walking in
the
octagon
same time
to take a UFC
same
title?
Damn time.
At the same time.
What are you guys all acting surprised for? That's what I've been up here trying to tell you. That's been the vision all along. I'm not just saying tag team champ either. Give me a WWE belt here, a WWE belt here, a UFC belt here, a UFC belt here. I'll be the first four-time champ. Let's check it. Let's run it. Let's get it.
Yes, sir.
Take that, Roman.
We got to wrap up. We got to let you guys go. Let's make a date. We'll see you back here next year. There'll be some gold around your waist. You'll have a big match, main event match, or resume. What is the next year going to look like for you? Answer that, and then we'll let you go.
We've given a lot of headlines, but the truth is just day by day probably is what we're going to focus on. And, you know, even tonight, we're going to go and we're going to make decisions after this that are going to put us in the best position for success. And we'll take that day by day. And when you make those continual deposits into your bank account, you're able to look back and you're going to have a really big balance at the end of it. And, you know, rather than telling you these things about winning four titles and, you know, making jokes about some of it and having fun with some of it, you know, I would rather at the end of my time and at the end of his time, we look back and we say, man, you know, instead of measuring our success based on titles and all this other stuff, I'd like to look back and say I was the best possible version of myself. And I think that's really the metric that we're going to try to beat. And hopefully next year, a year from now, we'll be the best possible versions of ourselves.
Nice. Yeah. Wait.
I agree with him. I mean, as long as I, you know, I think David Goggins said this on a podcast.
We're David Goggins guys, yeah.
Yeah, we are. Come on now. Stay hard.
It's great. Stay hard. You know it.
He was saying his biggest fear, which I kind of agree would be mine, is, you know, when you come face to face with God and you look at him and you're like, did I do everything you thought I would do? And that's going to be a powerful thing because that day's coming, and I just want to make sure we're prepared for that.
Not too soon. Not too soon.
I hope not. but you never know. Life is short, baby.
Life is short.
Live it.
And I love having these conversations, especially this weekend, because we've talked to a lot of established stars, but these are the conversations I love the most, especially when guys are that have bright futures at the very, very start. So, guys, make some noise for Julius and Brutus Creed, the Creed brothers, beginning of an incredible career. And thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.